Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. It just happened again, another abalone diver has been bitten. That seems a practice that gets quite a share of the overall amount of bites we have each year. So what is abalone diving and why does it seem to be prone to get bitten while doing that? First, for you guys who have never heard of the term abalone, abalone comes from the Spanish word abalón, and it is a type of snail. The snail has a shape of a human ear, is about as big as a flat hand, a little bigger maybe. And close to the rim, there are several holes that are used for breathing. It's rather unclear how many species there are, but I'd say around 60. Maybe you have heard of the scientific term Haliotis. And if so, then you heard the genus name for abalone. Anyway, the important question is, of course, why divers get bitten when going after these snails. The meat is extraordinary, so some folks eat them actually raw, but I guess cooked is more common. Bottom line, it's a delicacy. But does this imply that the shark, in this case white sharks, also like to eat abalone? Well, let's find out. I get to that in a second. You have to know that these snails have a very powerful foot, with whom they attach themselves to rocks. So it is this attachment to rocks that is likely responsible that abalone divers get nailed once in a while. An abalone diver has to use a knife to pry them off the rock, which makes quite a sound when they do that. If a shark is close by, it likely hears that sound as well. If the shark associates the sound with abalone or is just intrigued by the sound as such, I don't know. But the sound plays a considerable role. But maybe you are a very skilled abalone diver and you got one from the rock without grating noises, but a shark then still shows up. How could that happen? Well, whenever you get a live organism from a substrate that it was attached to, chances are that you injured it to some extent. This could then mean that the animal releases some substances, blood or whatever, which is then carried away. So whatever it is, you likely get the bugger should it be close. As I just mentioned, when I say sharks here, I mean the white sharks. You may not think that it's surprising since white sharks, especially large ones, consider seals as the main food source, right? Well, this is not really the case. Even large white sharks may not go after seals, but primarily fish. And surprise, surprise, they also like to get abalones. Why that is, I can't say since these things are rather small compared to the size of a white shark that they could not live off them. So still, abalone have been found in their stomachs. This tells us that a white shark is able to get an abalone off the rocks. So it may go about in a similar way as the diver does, and it has to pry them off by using its lower teeth. By doing so, they will be aware about the sound this scraping makes, and that will likely be stored in the memory. And should a diver's knife create a similar sound, you're gonna have one curious puppy moving in. So why would a diver then get bitten once he starts to collect these snails? Can it be competition? I don't think so, but I believe it is a case of kleptoparasitism where a shark just likes to steal the abalones from the diver. The diver gets something the shark wants, and we see that with spear fishermen over and over. Of course, then comes the legit question, if the shark just wants the snails, why would it then bite the diver? This comes likely down to the fact that the diver, as such, is also intriguing. So the question now is, how could one avoid being bitten when going after abalones? It's not easy. One would have to be able to eliminate sound or smell, for starters. Eliminating sound is tricky, since one would have to put something around the abalone that is sound-absorbing, or then create a method that makes a disconnection of the snail and the rock quicker and smoother. Here a scalpel-like instrument comes to mind that does not try to actually pry the abalone off the ground but cuts the foot as close as possible to the rock. There is also the smell to consider. Well, that one is easy. Put it into a bag that ascends to the surface right away where a boat could pick it up. Should you dive alone but have a safety buoy with you, send it up along the line, but no matter what, do not carry the abalone on you. Of course, the bags would have to be built from material that does not leak, so all bodily fluids of the abalone would remain trapped. But even with bagging, sound and smell, there is still the diver as such who also creates sounds and is visually intriguing. And then there is time. As such, not a problem, But the longer you stay in the water, the higher the likelihood that the resident shark would swim on top of you, even should it not be attracted by anything. Although we never talk about this possibility when an incident occurs, there's always the chance that the shark did not hear anything, follow a sound, or anything else that would substantiate a reason for the incident, but just happens to swim into visual range of the person. The sole presence of this unfamiliar object isn't so intriguing that the shark does an exploratory bite. How many times per year does it happen by chance, solely due to the swim pattern of the shark? It's hard to say, but I would not be surprised if it would be more than a few times. But the problem to find out it if this was the case, it's really not that easy. And I would say it's hard to prove. So anyway, is there a solution so that abalone divers do not get bitten anymore? Well, not really, but something to consider would be if you go for abalone, try to stay close to kelp, okay? Because kelp normally is like a natural boundary. White sharks do not go into kelp. I mean, most of them do not. So as far as I learned when I worked with white sharks, that would be actually a good barrier. So if possible, stay within the limits or in reach of a kelp forest. And if you see a white shark shows up, move in and wait until it's gone. Okay, that's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.